5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Well, I've never found anyone who can broadcast as badly as Bill.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
She's a nice Monday, of course. Damo comes in, talks footy.
Yep.
Good, bad. Incredible round of footy. Actually, incredible that it actually happened.
What about the weekend, Jim?
Oh, no,
footy, Olympics.
Nuts. All nuts. So we've got that, and then we've got a golden cock-up, of course, with our girl.
Have we?
Well, we had this one ready for last week.
And she had come
third. The bronze and didn't sort of go that well in the final. So we had to park it, didn't we?
Yeah.
But then she gets the gold.
Gold! There's gold out there.
Gold! That's it. So as soon as we saw that, back it came.
Yes.
So we hear from Jess Fox a little later on, our girl.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Now, Bill, hello to you.
G'day, mate. When I say Fanny Bay, what comes to your mind?
I don't know.
Jim.
What?
Darwin Cup today.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you know I'm not a racing man.
Well,
I don't know what Fanny Bay is.
Well, that's a suburb called Fanny Bay.
Right, I didn't know that.
Darwin Cup. All the best to the punters out there. Bet responsibly. Go, Rabs.
Full credit to Tim Payne for just being out there. All the hand problems he's had.
Yep.
I mean, there are alcoholic butchers with more fingers than Tim Payne.
Skull.
Oh, now Tim.
I love him. Yeah. He's golden.
No, that joke that goes on for a bit and goes over and over.
And you've borrowed it.
He's old man's a rolling stone.
Yeah, no, we
give
know.
That boy a loan. Now,
we played that audio for Skull because today we've announced that cricket is coming back to Triple M.
That's what we're doing, Jim.
Yes,
tell us
it
about
is.
That, please.
Brilliant. No, well, it's back and it should never have gone, but it's back.
3-year deal.
Oh, no, beautiful.
So who we got?
It's a great product, Triple M cricket. It's the way cricket should be presented on radio.
Yes.
It's irreverent. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's not boring and bloody library style broadcasting. It's actually got some sizzle.
So Damo's not doing it. Mark Howard, yourself.
Oh, actually,
Gus,
you and Giles, who does the great job running the footy, he'll do the cricket as well. He'll put a magnificent team together, Bill, and you might even pop your fat head into the box every now and then.
I am a cricketer, all-rounder for the Essendon Cricket
Club. We got to the bottom of that when we last did the rights.
Jim.
We had Simon O'Donnell come in and tell us that you are actually, to use his words, really shit.
Geelong City, I made 100 there one day against Leopold.
Geelong City.
Now, overall, Jim, as we stand right now, we have 14 gold medals.
How about that?
You know what the most gold medals we've ever won?
18?
I thought it was. Jill told me 17.
17, right.
But Athens, 2004, we got 17.
Right.
We're on 14 gold medals. That is good.
Yes.
Go again. Gold. 3 silver. You got the silver. And we've also got 14 bronze.
It's that one I can't get mad
around.
Who the hell's that from?
So in the pool, Jim, the swimming pool, a 9 gold.
I know,
unbelievable.
It is incredible.
3 silver and 8 bronze there. And, of course, we'll go through them a few of them here. Because Ash Barty got a – see that? That was over the weekend, I think.
Oh, Djokovic.
Yeah, it didn't turn up, so they got a bronze.
Threw every toy out of the cot.
Do you know who Logan Martin is, Jim?
Yeah, the BMX stylist.
How good is that? And guess where he's from?
Where?
Logan in Queensland.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
He's called Logan and he's from Logan.
Exactly right. I reckon we got him here on the BMX.
An 85.10 for Rim Nakamura will put him into fifth position. Our very own Logan Martin has now created history and walked away with the first ever BMX freestyle gold medal.
Get it easy. Channel 7, that audio as well.
Thank you, Channel 7.
Well done.
Did it easy too, and he built a world-class skate park in his backyard. Well done to him.
Logan from Logan.
Exactly. What about Emma McKeon?
Yes.
Weitzel, Penelope Bloom, she's in front. She's going to do it. Out of the shadows and into the spotlight. The first Australian to win 10 Olympic medals, Emma McKeon.
Well done,
Oh, yes.
7 medals at this Olympics, Jim. 4 golds, three bronze.
Baz's prepared finishes have been a big part of the entertainment of the Olympics for me. They've got better and better. Gobbledygook for Stubbledygook and all this sort of business.
He's been great. Actually,
I like
Baz.
It, Bill. I like the prepared
finishes. He's the mayor of Perth, too. He just left Perth. Left them in the lurch for 2 weeks.
I think they're going all right over there.
No, they go.
They've got the main man running things.
Oh, yeah. It might open up one day.
Yes.
But well done to him.
Emma McKeon is a complete superstar.
And the 4x1 relay where the Americans reckon we cheated.
Oh, what the hell? How do you cheat in a relay?
Oh, the septic's fair dinkum.
I don't know. We had enough of them.
But what a great win that was. The 4x1 relay.
Fighting back hard is Weitzel. Not much between them. They hit it.
Yes!
Goal for Australia. What a swim. Olympic record. Kate Campbell gets it done.
Oh. Katie girl. Yes. Harry Beutzel in that race.
I like it.
Kate Campbell, well done to you. Brilliant. That was fantastic. I tell you where else we won gold, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
The sailing.
Oh, no. Matty Wern. Oh, he had to turn up.
He had to actually just sail out there because he had to get on the water, but already had won. That is unbelievable.
Yes.
He's from Perth, Fremantle sailing.
We've got a rich history in the sailing at the Olympics.
That was well done. So well done to him. Yes. The Boomers, they're in the quarterfinals.
Oh, come on.
You know, Jim, that's the first time ever in Olympic Games they've won their first three pool games.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to them.
Yes.
They defeated Germany there, won that one.
Are you sure?
You sure? Yes, I'm sure. 76. Colonel Schultz was the best there for Germany. But well done. They are on top of their pool, and they go and play Argentina now on Tuesday night. That's
a
big one.
Let's go.
What happened in the golf, Jim?
Our boys were back in the field a little bit.
Cameron Smith.
Well, Smithy had a great finish. His last two rounds were great, but they were a long way back from Xander Schauffele. But the amazing story out of that is the silver medalist, who is South African, Rory Sabatini, and then ended up playing for... Christ knows who he played for in the end because he married, I think, a Serbian or someone like that, a Slovakian might have been. He married a girl who was Slovakian.
Slovakian, that's
and
it.
He played golf for Slovakia at the Olympics and won a silver, even though he's South African.
He did too.
And I looked at it, and I'm like, Rory Sabatini, he's a bloody yuppie. How the hell's he playing for Slovakia? Anyway, great golfer and good on him because it's an individual event, so it really doesn't matter who you play for. It's whether you're good enough or not.
Well, that's right.
So, but Cam Smith back a little bit, and Leash, not at his best, the Warrnambool Flyer.
No, he wasn't. And also the Kookaburras, Jim, do you see that? 2-2 they defeated the Netherlands. That was a beauty.
Well, 2-2's not a defeat.
2-2 Bull's head, I said 2-2, and they got through there. The Kookaburras now go through the semi-finals where they meet Germany again.
Come on.
Old Schultze, you'll be at it again there.
Different sport.
Eh?
A different sport.
Oh, well, it's hockey, what else have I missed anything here?
The Matildas, they play Sweden tonight. If they win, they are guaranteed of a gold or silver medal.
Oh, right. Good
Sweden
work.
Sweden are very good.
So we had Duck tell us on the weekend that he was a hockey champion and knows all about the game.
Yeah.
And he said that he used to do hockey one, hockey two, and you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That was the extent of his knowledge, wasn't it, of the sport?
Oh, mate. Oh, no, I've got something here.
Oh, what else?
The track and field, the track. Rowan Brownless.
Oh, yes.
Rowan Browning, Jim, lane one in the heat.
I don't know how good.
When he won that.
Came from nowhere.
And the boys are out the front there and they look across and they go, who's this bloke going past us in a white fella?
And before we go, Mitch Stark's brother.
And Mitch Stark, fifth in the high jump.
Fifth in the high jump. He's an amazing performance.
Oh, no, and the other one is Peter Spaghetti Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
What about him? He won the 800 metre.
And a chance.
And a big chance in the final. So good luck to Peter Bowl, who's Sudanese, of course, come across and now lives in Perth. Well done to him. And the Rugby League, of course.
League.
I knew I missed something
league.
There. The Storm won their 17th game in a row.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure they defeated Penrith. Won that one easy.
They're taking the piss, the Storm.
And... Shane Warne's got COVID.
No.
Positive. Tested positive.
He was sending me. He's a ferocious footy texter, Warnie.
Yes.
And, of course, doing Friday night football. He's in London and he's watching the Saints and he wasn't happy.
Well, he's coaching over there.
Not happy
with
the Saints. No, not at all. But he didn't mention the fact that he was sick.
No.
So that's obviously happened since then.
Well, and he's coaching, isn't he? He's coaching one of those sides over there in the hundreds, which is an interesting concept. We'll see how that goes.
All right.
But I'll tell you what, that's a lot of sport, Bill. Well done. I think you got it all over it. The Matildas and the Opals, they play this week.
We've done all that.
So
I think you got all over it. Well done, Bill, he reckons.
Well done, Bill.
He's reading his handwritten notes.
That's it.
Logan
just to
Martin
see if there's anything he's forgotten.
Logan. That was a funny little gag. That's it. Well done. Let's go and talk footy now with Damien.
JB and Bill, it's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You might find yourself in the radio reserves until you can present yourself in a fit state to broadcast.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Somehow the AFL got away round 20.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Ah, Purple, where do we start?
I want to start with Bill's parking, actually, Jim. I parked near him downstairs here at Triple M, and the big red truck you've got,
BT50.
How do you get it into that little spot, Bill?
I'll tell you how I do it, because it's got a nice camera, reverse camera, and I just beep, 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 up to the wall. And
you're touching the wall today? It was a...
Damien, no, it wasn't.
And, it's that tight, the car park.
Happy with the fact that the car's just getting touch parked.
If Darren's listening from Ringwood Mazda, it's not touching the wall.
No, it was built.
I did hear it go, beep, 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 bang.
What did we learn, Purple, out of this amazing round? As Rab said, how the hell did it even happen, given all the constraints?
It's just extraordinary. I mean, we discussed it on Saturday when it was blowing up, and the Queensland lockdown, which had just been called and was about to take effect, and that was affecting three games in round 20. And here we were 24 hours later. Two of those games were played in Melbourne and different venues, different states, and they got the full round away again, as they do. And three rounds left, there'll be some more curveballs thrown the AFL's way. But, I mean, clearly they come out of round 20 as the main positive of the whole situation.
So 27 games.
27 to go.
Home and away.
Yeah, and then they still want to have that week bye. At the very least, it provides them some form of manoeuvrings if they need it to play catch up or bring forward. But at the same stage, right now, they want to keep it where it is, Bill, to keep the bye after round 23 before finals.
I've got a question for everyone here at the table. Who finishes eighth? Because no one wants it. Mm. No one wants it at the minute. Righto, Jim, Damien and Bill.
Well, Freo put their hand up yesterday. Yep. I've always thought Freo, of all the teams under there, might be the one that elevates up. They have had bad injury, though, and if they can't get their best back, I don't know whether they're going to get there, to be honest.
And their best is unavailable for the rest of the year, being at five.
And also Sonny Walters. So, I think they've now had injury. And the same to Greater West Sydney. I think they've been really brave, but I think the injury is going to finally knock them off. So Essendon
or Richmond?
They're the two.
I kept thinking Richmond would get it together. I keep looking at the Richmond fixture, thinking it's the easiest run home. But when they've lost six of their last seven, which they've now done, they're obviously no guarantee. No one wants it, clearly. And every time someone finds it, as it was GWS going into round 20, they come out of the round not in that spot. So St Kilda's had chances, and staggeringly, Carlton is one game out. How does that happen?
No, can't get there. Now, Essendon or Richmond for me, one of those two will find a way, I reckon.
Yep.
And Freo and Greater West Sydney will be stiff, because if at full strength, they're both good enough to play finals footy, I reckon.
Yeah, and that was probably the take out of it. So, and even the rung above the eighth spot, which we've talked about for some weeks already, West Coast, they're going to have to secure one more win be guaranteed a spot. They've got the 10 wins from the 19 games. They're going to need one more. They're going to need one more to absolutely lock that away.
Are they playing away?
Yeah,
they will. They are. They're not going to look.
Well, they got Melbourne this week, haven't they? I think in Perth. So that's a huge game.
And they lost to North Melbourne in Perth weeks ago, so they're no guarantees anywhere.
And I love Adam Simpson, but, I mean, he's just sitting in front of the camera at the moment going, I don't know what's going on. You can see he's genuinely nonplussed at what they're serving up.
Especially on the weekend, Jim, and I know you haven't got to the negatives, but they are number one nearly.
They will be number one.
Shannon Hearn's 300th game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You find something for
him. Well, you'd think.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've had question marks over a couple of teams even up higher on the ladder, one of them being Port Adelaide. But when you get to round 21, as we're now up to, and they've almost secured the double chance, you've got to give them something.
Absolutely.
And what they did against GWS was good. They saw it out. They had to get dirty in the last quarter just to stave off the challenge. They did. They've still got some big names to come in if they can get their bodies right. The biggest one is still Robbie Gray, even at this late stage of his career. If he's right, he adds something pretty significant. I still feel Motlop will come in as well. And in the interim, Bill, they're playing a very big forward line, a bit like the Cats, with some really big men down there. Laddams kicking three on the weekend. Georgiades, so I reckon reckon it's just going to be something very, very special. Marshall, who is maligned at times, but Kenny loves him. He's playing his role. Yeah. And Big Charlie, if he kicks goals, it's almost a bonus because his presence is so profound down there that it just makes everything work. So I really like him, Jim, and well done to him because they've had their moments. Melbourne, similarly, just got the easy kill, didn't they, in that sporting vernacular sense against Gold Coast.
Yeah, but I smooched on it a bit too because that game was meant to be at Metricon.
Yep.
And Gold Coast are a far better side there than they are anywhere else. Yeah. So it getting moved helped them.
That's Melbourne, true, but they then spent 7.5 hours sitting on a plane the day before. And,
there's lots of those stories. I mean, Sydney had been on the road for 6 weeks. Oh, they were great. Bits I saw, they were great, and Gold Coast were horrible. But you've got to acknowledge that the moving of that game helped them enormously.
No, it did. It did, and you've just got to take what you're given, don't you? Good, bad, or indifferent. And it was good for Melbourne because they got some form into the two men they're going to need to have in form going into a final series, they being the key forwards. Obviously, Jackson, who has had a really good year, but had a month or so where he was just off his game a bit, and Brown, clearly, Bill, with the four goals, was his best performance to this point as a Melbourne player.
Now, Purple, while we're doing the positives, and I love that, I'm going to be positive about Essendon and Sydney yesterday. That's the best game of footy I've seen for the year.
A shootout,
Tim. It was magnificent.
It was great to watch, wasn't it?
And the great bit about it was, I reckon, halfway through the third quarter, both coaches went, well, we can't stop the other mob scoring, so we just got to score more ourselves. Yeah. The old Malcolm Blight rule.
Yes.
Yep. And it gave us the best hour of entertainment the footy AFL has coughed up for the year.
I would agree with that. And the goals that were kicked were from long range, often
brilliant,
under pressure, but because of the attacking mindset that they were able to approach the game, as opposed to the often scenario we do see where how do we stop the opposition as a first and foremost tactic, yesterday, to your point after half time, it was just go for it. And I loved it. And I think both teams benefited from it. It got down to a shootout. It was a 7-point result. And I'll reserve the stuffing up of the time management with regards to the rotations on Essendon to the negatives, but it didn't help their cause, did it?
No, it didn't. But the other positive is Jake Stringer. We have had to be honest about him at times because there are times when he doesn't get to where he should do. But yesterday, in the second half, he was unbelievable.
I'm really glad for him personally, Bill, because he left the Bulldogs under the circumstances that he didn't want. He then took some time to get going. A prodigious talent who was an All-Australian in 2015, struggled in 2016 in that premiership year, gone the year after. I like how he's turned his life and football around.
But the midfield's helped him, hasn't it? Big body in there. He does some good work in there.
Yeah.
He does some good work in there. Kicks goals.
Yep.
So well done. He's got, what, a 3-year deal, didn't
he? Yeah, he got a fresh deal. Got a fresh deal. 3 years with, I think, a potential for more with some KPIs on it.
Who else? Hawthorn. What happened there? Yeah.
Amazing game,
you know what they've done? They've signed Clarko. Signed him up. They have. Signed him on a 10-year deal after that win. Sign him up.
It's funny that. He's a good coach.
Oh, no. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought he'd get it?
Could you believe that when you turned it on, it was 4-3 to Brisbane, one point?
No, 53 points up. It got down to, 13 points in the end. But to be that far ahead of Brisbane, we need to talk about them soon too. But I've got a view on him, and I'll just quickly talk about it. I just don't see, when footy clubs make decisions that they've now made, and that was to not renew him, and then he made the decision he made to take himself out of the immediate effect of that club, you've got to move on. And I just feel the next 3 weeks are just a wasted time for Hawthorn. I just don't deviate off that. Footy clubs aren't places where you want to pat people on the back and celebrate the past because you don't have time. You've got to get it right. And I just don't see any point, Bill, that they continue this. It's a charade. It's a they've been lying to each other.
Even when they're putting that up.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, where's it get them next year with him in charge? I mean, he doesn't want to be there. They don't want to be there. They've been lying to each other. They've been lying to the public.
I've never seen anything like it, Bill. To you yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show, because I sit next to you, and you also want Jeffrey out the door too. He goes with him. Out.
Well, Bill, he had his one stint between 2006 and 11, and then when he lost a bit of relevance around society, he wanted to get on the Melbourne Footy Club board, if you remember, Jim, in 2013, and that didn't work out, and then he came back and to wanted to fix Hawthorn when Richard Garvey was in charge, and I'll just do one more term, he said. That one more term has become a second term a second time around, and then he's butchered the whole coaching situation.
All right, we haven't got long left with the positives. A couple for me. Freo, great, and the Chera, Sarong, Brayshaw, if they can hang on to Chera, and that's a big if, but if they can, those three are going to be very, very good for that club for 10 years.
The future's there, isn't it?
Very good midfield.
Will it be a three-pronged midfield future with Chera?
Well, Chera's the big issue. If he wants to come back, he's going to be a beauty chair.
Management's already shopping him around, Jim, big time.
Oh, no, Dave. Yeah. Carlton, we all, used to sit and when Gary was doing analysis with us, he used to say, that performance is actually worse than the one the week before.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yeah. How could you serve up what they served up against North the week before and then play like that against St Kilda?
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because
how do you do that?
Yeah. And they were
kick 18 goals for.
That was the other thing.
How do you do that, Damien? Right.
They were committed. They lost the their ruckman in the process of the game. And obviously the Saints had already had Ryder being a late withdrawal within that. But it just underlines Silvani's importance to the win and the team full stop. And to now have struck together a 4 wins from last 6-match scenario for David Teague, it's just another curveball for the findings of that review.
Western Bulldogs and Geelong winning. Good sides just win. Doesn't matter who they're up against, they find a way.
That's right, Jim.
Those two are very good clubs.
And Collingwood needs to be also acknowledged in the positives because under Robert Harvey, they're playing some nice attacking football. It's in great and stark contrast to what they were doing under Nathan Buckley for reasons that were, fair enough to him as well. But it's a different side to this
Who
side.
Who coaches them?
It won't be Robert Harvey. If it's one person, can I have an each way bet?
No.
All right, Don Pike.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to a break because the negatives are coming next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour and Damien Barrett's Into Chat Round 20.
All right, negatives.
Ooh,
we've had a good long slab of positive, but what didn't you like?
I didn't like West Coast, and it's been a continuation now of two seasons of lethargy from that particular footy club. And I was going to say 2 goals to 3-quarter time. Forget and disregard the last 4 goals they kicked in that last quarter. It just doesn't matter. It just gave them some scoreboard respectability, but they had no real credibility when it came to what they dished up to that point. And
how can you carry Shannon Hearn off?
Well,
he wasn't happy with it, was he?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time someone in those colours had got to 300 games, and he's a premiership captain, and there's only been two of those people at that club before him.
I was thinking of being carried off. Tomahawk plays his 300th game, I don't know, 3 or 4 games. Who's going to carry him off?
He'll need 4. I actually really like Sean Higgins, by the way, with Jack Zeeble and Joel Selwood. That's a nice touch.
No. It was nicely done. Brisbane Lions is the other worry. This is the second.
Both Queensland sides, but.
We'll get to them. But from the premiership aspirant perspective that the Lions were, and this is now the second time they've gone on a 3-loss-from-4-game sequence. It happened at the very start of the year. As we remember, we had that really poor and unfortunate patch where they got stuck in Melbourne for some time. So you gave them an out on that occasion. But St Kilda and Richmond, they lost to. They get to half time of last week's game against the Gold Coast, and they were all at sea, had a really good second half, but it was against Gold Coast, and then just were nowhere against Hawthorn when it mattered yesterday, and got themselves to a point of being 9 goals down. They're going to finish outside the top 4, Bill. They can't get back in the top 4 now, and I think you can look at this as now being a wasted period for this footy club. They're out in straight sets in 2019. They just lost their 2 finals.
Yep.
And then they had last year where the grand final was played at their home ground and they just weren't even able to make it. Now, I know they're hard to make, don't get me wrong, but they did have a few things go their way, particularly with COVID being used and basing every single club effectively in Queensland. They fell short, only a game short, but they fell short. Now they get to this year and they can't cope with the injuries to obviously Eric Kippold and Cam Rayner and others throughout the course of the year have hurt them, but they're off the pace, aren't they, Jim?
What about the coach, quarter time? Oh, he gave him a good old blast. Second week in a row. You didn't see it?
I didn't see that bit.
Yeah. He marched out and just went bang.
He can't give it to him.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't happy.
Well, they got the Dockers this weekend. That's a game they just have to win.
Yeah.
They just have to win. They have to take some sort of momentum into the finals campaign. Yeah. No, I agree. They've been disappointing, have the Gold Coast. My goodness, what is that?
Might as well go there next.
The warning bells have got to be ringing very loud around that place, Purple.
So have they ever not been ringing, Jim? And I mean that quite seriously. They're 11 seasons into their AFL life. And there was a patch in 2014 when Gary Ablett was flying, Guy McKenna was still coaching. They were on the verge of the 8, and I think had he not gone down, they would have made the 8. But take that period of time out of their history, I think the alarm bells have been going pretty much ever since that point.
So what are they doing? Like, what Dougie Evans has gone up there, and he's so highly respected among City Hall. Yep. What is going on with the joint?
Well, they just can't get those kids to gel, can they? And they've had a period of their history where people have left, and that happens with certain clubs in certain stages of their life. But they then had a couple of good drafts, and one of those guys was omitted from the team, being Rankin on the weekend, and the others just aren't having the effect they're meant to have. They're going to lose Ben King. Ben King will be returning to Melbourne at the end of next year. Just almost locked that in.
The best coach in the world is on the market.
He's available, isn't he?
Yep. So do they say, mate, Clarko, the AFL ring him, say, mate, we need you up there to help.
There's a few issues with that, given that it's an AFL-run club. The AFL itself has been adamant the clubs don't waste money on paying out coaches.
But you've
under
got to
contract.
Do something and now with the Suns.
I would agree with you, Bill. If he was out of contract, it would have to be a conversation to be had.
It's got to be.
Yep.
And I don't know how you pay him. Free flights and fish and chips on a Friday. I don't know. It's something, but, mate, he's got to go up there and sort it out. He's the one.
You'd think he would be the one. And there's a Lee Matthews type of connection there, isn't there? Lee Matthews, obviously, at the end of that disastrous Brisbane Lions season of 1998, became the AFL focus, get him up there. Very first year under Lee Matthews, they made a prelim final, then the finals the next year, and then they went bang, bang, bang. I'm not saying that's going to happen to the Gold Coast, but Lee Matthews' legacy was created on going to the outpost and the growth area of the AFL. I feel deep down Alistair Clarkson has that at the back of his mind. He's all about records, and so he should be. Going to a development area, Bill, would be more significant in terms of what he could do and to completely Frankie's legacy than going to a big club in Melbourne.
So Ben King, you said they might lose him.
Almost certainly. So, the way they're going.
Clarko's going to coach next year. What happens? He goes, oh, hang on. I might stay.
It would be a cause for rethink, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Jim, that's got to happen. Put it in your book.
You reckon?
Put that little black book you got over there.
I'm still more leaning towards Al Clarkson having a year off, to be honest. And then it might well be that job will be available in that time. I don't know. But I get the feeling he's going to have a year off.
Yeah, I don't believe anything that bloke says anymore.
Well, no, he hasn't said that to me.
And I didn't before last week anyway.
What else from a negative point of view?
St Kilda had their chance on Friday night. And they came up against Carlton and just weren't able to get the job done. And again, it's in keeping with how they've performed pretty much all year. Every time they've managed to just get over a hill of problem, they create another one. And that was another one because they could have been in the eight had they managed to just beat Carlton as they were meant to do on bookmakers' charts and I think in most tipsters' eyes. But they're pretty ordinary when it's all said and done. And you don't get to end of round 20, Bill, with the 13th place that they've got beside
eight wins on the ladder.
And yet, like Carlton, they're one game out of the eight as we speak. GWS, again, they're okay, but they've been regularly okay, and that's about all they are, isn't it? They had a chance themselves, entered the round in eighth spot, exited it out of the eight, and left with a lot of work to do just to stay there.
Richmond?
Yeah.
Lost
of six of their past seven now, and they're okay against Fremantle, but that's what they've become, haven't they, this year? And I was just convinced they were going to win enough games to get there and potentially then still cause some damage. But I think the body of work now, Bill, over the course of the year, and particularly the last 7 weeks,
they look tired to me.
Says to me they've checked out.
Yeah, they look tired.
All right, so as we let you go, Purple, we are now getting to the clock tower.
Yes.
Who do you like the most?
I've liked Geelong since about round three.
You have not.
Yes,
you're
I have.
A liar.
That is, Bill, I reckon Geelong have been close to certainties for that long.
They're not certainties.
They're not certain. No one's a certainty, but I just love what they've done.
The Dogs, he's played 30, I don't know how many players he's played.
I think it's in the 40s, believe it or not.
Because they can all play forward or back or in the midfield or throw them around.
And how about you, Bill, is that mindset with what now is happening with Josh Shackey, just to cover for the deficiencies they've got down there? And his career seemed over, didn't it, the way he just couldn't get back into that forward line. And now he's got a potential place as a key back for a premiership tilt.
All right, good seeing you always, Buses. Are we moving any around? Oh, yes. Nod of the head.
Oh, well, we're going to leave that one at Carlton, Jim, even though we nearly got rid of it 2 weeks ago.
It's got squatters living in it.
It has, yeah. It's got heritage listing, as we've said. We want to get one back down to Hawthorn. It's been there on and off over the journey. We need to get one there just to see what's happening.
Amazing win over Brisbane.
Yeah, they did. But they've also got a president who doesn't know what's going on right now.
Who drives it out.
And this is going to cost a bit of money, Bill. We've got to get one over to West Coast. So how can you arrange that?
It's got to go across the Nullarbor. I don't know if my buses make it.
Really?
They break down. They're no good.
Their car park has never had a bus in it,
I don't think.
West Coast?
No.
I don't reckon Nizzy will be overly happy.
Well, Simo
brings the truck in and there's a bus.
And there's Damien driving the bus into the car park. There'll be another coach.
We might have to ring one of those high companies over there and just get him to send one out there. So we might do it by phone just to get it established out there.
Are they at Cockburn?
No.
That's Fremantle.
That's Fremantle and it's Coburn.
Coburn.
No, that's Co to me. C-O-C-K, that's Co to me. Well done, Purple. Good to see you.
See you, boys.
Damo's recovery session.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Up next, we revisit an interview with gold medalist Jess Fox.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not Incy Wincy.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Hugey Woogey.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless.
It's a Rush Hour.
Gold, my friend.
Golden Cocker.
All right. How this works is we interview a while back an Olympic athlete. They then go on and win gold.
That's it.
We replay a bit of the interview to claim her as ours.
And we were going to play it last week, and we thought she was going to win gold in the K1 gym. Yes. And just a bronze.
No bronze, yeah. So we held it.
But then, of course, this week in the women's C1, she won gold.
That's it.
Now, you were born in France, were you, Jess?
Yes, I was. I was born in Marseille. Have you been there before?
Well, funny you should say that, because I've got a special theme song for you for the Olympics.
Okay.
There we go. Take me away to Marseille.
You ever heard that before, Jess?
No, I hadn't heard that one. I thought you were going to play like Fox on the Run or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is Triple M, Jess, so we're a hard rock station. So we've gone with Doc Neeson and the Angels. So that's for you to just sweep you into Tokyo, of course.
What did you do in lockdown? Because we saw the tennis players, they played tennis in their rooms and triathletes were running around the house. What do you do if you're a canoeist?
Well, if you've got a swimming pool, you can jump in the pool and do a couple of turns. But there's only so much you can do with a 3.5 metre kayak in a 7 metre pool. But yeah, I did. I got creative at home as well and just sort of did a lot of home gym workouts and used my kayak, which weighs 9 kilos, as a weight for pull-ups and things like that. So yeah, it was kind of fun maybe for the first week to just get creative and then we were like, okay, I'm sick of the TikTok challenges. Let's get to work.
Do you have to do seated row ever? Because for me, that is the single worst thing you can do in a gym.
The rowing machine.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like the seated row weighted machine or like rowing?
Rowing, no, rowing thing. It's a nightmare, Jess.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Thank
God. We go forwards, though. The rowers go backwards and they do that ergo. But I'm not a fan of the ergo. We use a kayak version of the ergo and... Yeah, it's not my favourite thing. I did a little bit of that in lockdown as well.
No. Nightmare. It's horrific, Bill. And your head starts to get all light.
I know.
You feel like you're going to pass out.
No, you can't breathe. I had a heart attack. I had to get off.
Did you have a heart attack?
You know where the sign says if you feel dizzy?
Yep.
I felt dizzy, so I got off. Hey, Jess, I got something for
you. It sounds like you work hard.
No, oh, Bill.
I don't. No. I'm
fat as a fool. Bill?
Actually, what do you weigh, Jess?
60 and 62 kilos.
Well, I'm double you.
Okay.
But I'm bilingual, just like you, by the way.
What's your second language?
French, like you.
Oh.
Well, go on.
Well, we could do this whole segment in French if you like.
Salut, Jess, J, Apple, Billy. Any idea what that is?
Well, I mean, you said, hello, Jess. My name's Billy, but, was it perfect? Work on the accent.
We...
Thank you, Bill.
And the chomps are lessee.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jess, good luck. We're not going to hold you up any longer, but it would be one of the great stories. You've already had an extraordinary career, as we heard at the top, but a silver and a bronze. We're adding gold in Tokyo for you. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
What a star.
Yeah.
What
to
a
put
star.
Up with that interview.
Oh, no, to put up with you for a start. But the way she carried herself through that whole campaign was just magnificent. She had a disappointment. Yeah. I mean, not that bronze is disappointing, but for the best in the world champion coming into that event and the fastest qualifier. But she handled that with beautiful grace and class and then comes back and wins the gold and was superb in the way she handled that too. So
on,
love her.
But all the girls in the pool, all the girls, grace and class.
Agreed. No, just, they've made us proud. The women athletes have been superb.
Down to earth. Good on you, girls. Yep. Fully deserved.
I love it. All right. So next, I've got a little something for you.
Oh, good, Jim. I like when you bring something.
But then a joke that I hope's funny.
Yeah.
It's a Rush Hour, a Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour on tomorrow's show. One of our favourites, Aaron Finch, is going to join us.
Finches, I love that. Finches. Now, we've got a little grab here, around 20 highlights, rabbits. Get that ready, please, because I'm listening to the radio yesterday, Bill.
Yesterday?
And, of course, I love our coverage.
Yes.
So I'm listening to the game. Triple M. I think it was at Marvel on Triple M, and just hit this for me, Rabs, please.
Rabsy, is there a Giants player running around out there shirtless?
Yeah, Xavier O'Halloran currently not really having a shirt on.
Having a shirt on?
Oh, no.
And it's a jumper.
It's a jumper for a start.
Oh, no.
And did he have it on? Not really have something on? Is it on or is it not on?
Well, it was like one of those towels the kids wear at the pool. It was just hanging over his head.
Not really having a shirt on at a game of footy.
That'll be in Bernie Vince's Nuff Nuff.
Rabbits.
Are you a boundary rider now?
Well, because of all the games yesterday, they had to go to the bottom of the barrel.
Follow me. Wow. You know that if you're ever in front of an open mic outside of the environment we have here, you're representing Bill and I.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yes.
So if you cock it up, it reflects badly on us.
Especially me. So don't be shit. No, well done. Actually, that's
I did a good job. I loved it. I was listening. It was very, very nice.
Hasn't he gone all right, our boy?
Yeah, he's getting
he started here. He pressed a couple of buttons. Then we let him have a couple of little words here and there, Jim.
Oh, now what's happened?
Oh, now
he's galloping out of control.
We've created
hit it again,
monster.
Oh, no.
Rabsy, is there a Giants player running around out there shirtless?
Yeah, Xavier O'Halloran currently not really having a shirt on.
Not really having a shirt on.
Yeah, that's shit.
No, Rabs, it's not bad. We all make mistakes. You just seem to make it a lot.
More than anyone.
Mm.
No, I liked it. Now, Bill.
Yes.
Something humorous.
Yes.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Oh, I tell you what, Jim, the feedback on Friday, fruity one, with the old couple, the bloke who died with the church bells, Jim.
So, what do you got?
The ding and the dong. And then the
we don't revisit them on a Monday, so what do you got today?
Now, you wouldn't believe this. I've got a little one here for you, Jim, but I gave my mate an elephant for his room. He said, thanks, Bill. I said, don't mention it. Now, don't mention the elephant in the room, you idiots. Now, is that a Chinese restaurant?
I was going to say, surely that's not it. Surely that's not it.
It's not a bad little starter.
It's a really poor one.
It's a beef satay. Yeah. I was sitting at a Chinese restaurant last night, Jim, and it went out pitch black, dark.
Dark.
So I yelled out to the waiter. I said, hey, you, come here. He said, you got to start clapping. I thought, what a weirdo. Everyone start clapping. Why would you do that? Anyway, we all started clapping all together and the lights come back on, Jim. I said, what happened there, mate? He said, old Chinese proverb. Many hands, mate. Light work. I'll see me way out, Jim.
Don't slam the door on the way out.
Many hands make light.
That's really bad.
Oh, I liked it. Woo! Well done, Bill. Good start. Oh, wow. Where do we go to now?